my soul to see that you're there to lift her up. You alone, you alone.
here. Yeah, come on.
Won't you take me higher and higher? And you show me how again.
Everything you know, come on.
You alone, my soul desires. If that you're the lifter of my head
above everything,
won't you take me higher and higher? And you show me love. You alone, my soul desires. You're the lifter of my head. Take me higher, Lord. Won't you take me higher and higher? And you show me love again.
He's the lifter of your head. Psalm chapter 3, verse 3. David cried out unto the Lord. When his son began to seek his life, David said, Lord, there are those that said that there is no deliverance for me. There is no salvation for me. But you, Lord, you are my shield. You are my glory. And you are the lifter of my head. See, sometimes you have to understand the enemy want to bring you down. You want to have your head lowered down as a sign of defeat. But if you can lift your head, if you can look unto the hills which cometh your help, all of your help comes from the Lord. He is the lifter of your head. Come on. One more time. Come on, let's go.
Surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, you Jesus. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, even now. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, oh, oh. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh, oh, oh. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You love me so.
To be. We know our identity. We start to have confidence in our identity and know that we belong to Him. And I just really wanted to share that. It's just amazing. God is so good, y'all.
are stronger than the
more real.
You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. You're more real, Lord. You're more real than the ground I'm standing on. Thoughts define me, yeah. Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. Oh, my reality.
Like a river of peace.
back home with the arms of a father who won't let go. You came running down my prodigal road. You came running with the regenerator. Races collision on my way back home. With the arms of a father, you won't let go, you won't let go.
You won't let go me, Jesus. You won't let go. Somebody this morning, God won't give up on you. You go.
Singing about peace. Again, we're gonna do a little something different. hands on you. Now, what was the message? See, and as they begin to talk about God, who is the lifter of our head. See, in Psalms chapter 3, verse 3, or verse 1, it talks about Absalom. And Absalom's name means father of peace. But it was his own son that denied him peace. And they begin to talk about the complacency that we sometimes get in. And see, that's where some of you are right now. You're in the valley of Rephidim. You're in the valley of giants, and the enemy has laid siege against your heart, your mind, and you don't know what to do. But as David looked unto the Lord, he put all of his trust in God, knowing that God could deliver. He began to raise his hand, and he lifted up his head and said, Lord, you are my shield, my glory, the lifter of my head. And David got the victory. If that is you in here today, and if you're struggling, and the enemy has laid siege against your mind, against your family, against your friends, against your job, stand on your feet. Lift up your hand and lift up your hand, for the Lord is able and mighty to deliver.
You won't let go.
Come on, come on.
And shame. Lord, we thank you that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness. We can come before you boldly, God. Every bit of the shame, God, of the past, the things we've done. Lord, you don't hold it against us. We've come, we've repented before you, God, and you're not throwing it up in our face, God, but you're setting us free. Lord, remove the shame, break the shame, God.
Father, we just thank you. We seal it right now, Lord, for you are our peace. Father, we thank you for putting down the walls against our mind and our heart. We thank you, God, for giving us deliverance in the valley of Rephidim. We thank you, God, that you are the Lord of breakthrough, that you are the Lord of glory. And we lift our heads unto you, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Come on, let everybody say, we thank you, Lord. Give thanks. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for you are our deliverer. You are our salvation. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Come on, come on. Let's give him a round of applause. Come on. It's all about him. Amen, amen. Amen. If you can be seated, amen. You may be seated. Amen. We're going to ask children to come up. We'll also ask the ushers to come around with the offering. And maybe we're also going to take up an offering. And if you're here at the Father's house, we welcome you. And we thank you for our children. Get your offering ready. All right, we seem to be multiplying. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We bless you for our children. We thank you, God, that the power of darkness will not prevail, but that they will break forth in light and glory in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that they're marked by your presence. They are a generation who have seen the face of God. And we thank you, Lord, that they're being transformed by your word and by your revelation. Thank you, Lord, that the plumb line is being revealed in them. Thank you, Lord, that they're being sons of glory and daughters of glory. Thank you, Lord, that they are the sons and daughters of breakthrough. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask you if you get an offering, amen. We're gonna take up an offering and let us just pray. If you have an offering, just lift up your offering if you don't mind with your hand, or you can just raise up your hand. We're just gonna pray, amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, God, that you see our seed, and we lift this seed up to you, Lord, as an offering. And Father, we just ask that you would bless our seed, you would bless our homes, you would bless our family, and Father, that you would bring increase. You would bring increase to our family, bring increase in our lives, and bring increase of you in our lives. We thank you and we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, you guys. Wow, you all sounded so happy. Let's try that again. Hey, you guys. Yeah. It's a good day to be alive. You all sounded dead. It's okay, though. Okay, so we have a couple of announcements. We have a Pure Life singles meeting tonight at 7 p.m. Tia, I'm assuming it's here, right? Okay, so come on out. Be ready to fellowship and dig into the Word with Tia. All right, so keep in mind, we still have our prayer calls on Tuesday. What that is, if you don't know, is you get an access card, and it has a code on it, and you call a number, and you enter in the access code, and that connects you to people from the church, and you have corporate prayer together, which that is so important to come together as the body of Christ and pray for this region and for the community. So try to get that access card if you haven't, or find someone who has one. All right, so don't forget our Killing Kryptonite series that we're doing. This next Wednesday, we're going to be doing a recap of the two last videos that we did in case you want to join in and you missed out on the last two. So don't forget about the series. It's been so good so far, you guys. If you don't have the book, I highly recommend getting the book to go along with the series, because it is just so in-depth and it is so blessing me. All right, February 24th, we have an authentic manhood breakfast at 9 a.m. I don't know what that is going to include, but it sounds like it would be pretty good. All right, and on February 25th, we're going to be having another Encounter worship service at 6 p.m. Those have been so, so good. If you just love to come and sit in the presence of God and just worship at His feet, come out, please. It has been so, so good to worship and to just be together in fellowship also. And also remember that we're going to be still having fellowship every Sunday morning in the youth room from 10 to 10:45 a.m. before service starts. So come out, get a donut, get a drink, and fellowship with one another. All right, so let's pray before we dig into the Word, you guys. Hey, Jesus, I just come to you today, and I just thank you for everything that you are doing within this church and within this body and within this community. God, I just ask that you would just pour your spirit out even more so than you already have this morning as we listen and prepare our hearts to hear your word, God. I thank you, God, for anointing Pastor Sean to give us this word and message this morning, and I pray that we will just each grasp it, God, and use it for your glory. God, I just bless each person in this room today, and I just thank you for bringing them all together to glorify your name. God, we ask these things in your precious, holy name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. How are you guys this morning? Wonderful. Hasn't the presence of God been so great in here this morning? Let's give our worship team a hand for what they've done. Hey, how about our ushers out there, man? These guys just our sound and video, and those guys back there, give them a hand as well. It's, you know, it takes more than just you know, a preacher getting up and ministering to you guys. It takes so much to run a ministry, and there's so much that goes on behind the scenes. And so I want to thank you guys. You did an awesome job this morning, by the way. So as you know, the third Sunday is kind of a Sunday morning that I take and minister to you guys. And I think sometimes folks are like, shoo-wee, thank God. If you didn't get an opportunity to come to discipleship classes this morning, just know every first and third Sunday we do discipleship classes, and man, we're laying a foundation, and the Spirit of God is really breathing on those, and folks are really digging on those. So don't be afraid to come and maybe learn something you didn't know, or have something reinforced that just needed, the Spirit of God needed to sort of remind you of. Amen? So don't forget that. Our encounter services, the second and fourth Sunday, and those are 6 p.m. Those are our night services. And just as Faith said, those services were no agenda, no specific message. The last two times I've sort of prophetically brought a word, we don't do that a long time, but we just go after God. No agenda. Hey, you do what you want to do, which is how it should be anyway, right? And so sometimes we know we have to have order, but so there's no real order going on with those services. Come out and be with those. And look on, we'll keep reinforcing those times and dates, because I know it takes more than one time, two times, three times to say, hey, I got this down. Amen? I really feel like how worship went this morning, I really feel like God was revealing some things and giving us the direction. I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I believe there was freedom in the house. And sometimes it's just tangible and you can grab a hold of it, and I'm ready to just break free and to break loose. Amen? And how many knows that, hey, the deeper you get in with God, the more you uncover about yourself, the more the enemy comes after you. We know that we just got to continue to walk in that freedom, don't we? It ain't just a one and done and, oh, I'm good to go for the rest of my life. The enemy still comes after you, right? That's why I get tickled when people say, man, the devil don't mess with nobody anymore. Well, I tell you what, he didn't listen to that regarding me. Let's put it that way. And we don't glorify him, but how many knows he's after us, right? And so last Sunday morning, I was back there worshiping, and I had a vision. I don't really want to speak much about that vision. I want to reveal it to you. And when I had this vision, this open vision, the Lord began to speak to me, and I said, hey, I'm going to come up before Dole preaches and share that. He said, no. I said, I'll preach at an encounter service tonight. And he said, no. And I was like, when do you want me to give it? Maybe I'll release a prophetic word on Facebook. And he was like, no, you can do that, but I want you to preach that this coming Sunday. And so here we are today to that Sunday. And so I really believe what I have, and not because it's me, I believe I have a prophetic word for this house. I believe I have a prophetic word for the body of Christ. And, you know, we go through different seasons. You know, we know through the church age of how God has revealed things, how he's brought back, you know, the fivefold recently. And really, you know, we've been teaching on the prophet and the apostle and all of those things. And we know that God does things in stages. And basically the same way that he works with us, he works in the body of Christ. And can anybody relate that God's just sort of peeling you back? revealing things to you. This week has been a lot of revelation about my own self as I've been seeking God, been having some prophetic dreams, and God's really been showing me. How many knows that He's more interested in showing you to yourself than He is just using you to help others? He wants you to have true freedom. He wants you to have true peace. He wants you to know what it feels like to walk in that. And so we know that He just kind of peels us back like an onion, many layers, right? And so endure that process. It can be painful at times. And sometimes it's hard to admit that I deal with this and I deal with that, and that's on the inside of me and that's yucky. But hey, you know, we've been through things. The enemy's come after us. And Jesus wants to set us free. Amen? Hallelujah. So I just want to talk about this vision that I had. It's real simple. It's real plain. I love to teach on the prophetic, and I love what I have done with the young adults is I have dumbed it down. Not that they're dumb, because they're not. They're very intelligent. But anytime you think of a prophet or you think of the prophetic, you think of this. Maybe you think of Isaiah, or you think of Ezekiel, or maybe you know somebody in the body of Christ that's operating as a prophet, and you think way up here. When in all actuality, all it is hearing from God and relaying what God is saying to the people. And we're all supposed to hear from God. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get into that, but I'll go into that at some point in time. I want to reveal this this vision I had back there last week. What I saw a train, and what I would describe it, since it's the Olympics, I know that we can relate to this. I saw this train going down a luge track. Does anybody know what a luge track is? And so basically it's a tunnel that's pretty much open. It has high banks so they can get speed and they can run up on these banks and gain momentum. And so I saw this train going down this luge track, and what it was doing, it was actually in traffic. And so as it was going down this track, it was going up on the banks, the high banks, and it was dodging cars, it was dodging oncoming vehicles, and it was like a busy highway. And so at the center of this luge track was train tracks. And I could tell what I was seeing that this train was supposed to be on these tracks, which was at the center, and it was supposed to be going down those tracks. As I watched it weave out in and out of traffic, recklessly, haplessly, reckless abandon, finally it hit its tracks. It connected in its tracks. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know a whole lot about the railroad. I have friends that work for the railroad. But I've seen enough accidents to know if there's a car sitting in those tracks and a train's in those tracks, I can tell you who wins. The only thing that can knock a train really out of its tracks is if it hits another train. But when it hits a car or another vehicle, it completely demolishes and it keeps on moving like it was nothing. Nothing was even there. And so it got in those tracks, and when it did, it picked up momentum and it began to move at a high rate of speed. And not only that, it was just unstoppable. And then I saw it enter this large gate. And that ended the vision. And so me and my infinite wisdom, I began to think about scriptures, and I began to think about the straight gate, and I began to think about Jesus talking about that. And so, but the Lord said, that's not it. I want to take you further into what I've shown you, and I believe this is for you. So those that know me know that I like to prophetically preach. My wife, who isn't here, pray for little Lorna Ray. She's not feeling well this morning. But sometimes she says, Sean, you have a tendency to go a little too high. But this, please don't be intimidated by what I'm about to preach. Because this isn't going to be above you, above anyone in here. It's really going to be foundational and very simple. And it should be something that we should be taking note of in the body of Christ. Amen? So the Lord spoke to me when I saw this. And He said, this is a picture of those in the body of Christ who, number one, won't allow me to remove the sin and iniquity in their lives and their generations. Now, how many knows James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways? And sometimes we get teaching that just is not correct. And that's why we're doing this discipleship and this foundational teachings. That way you get the correct teaching. It may be simple, but sometimes people have wrong believing. And as I said this morning, if you come to Jesus on a weak gospel, you'll have a weak life. And I really believe one of the greatest attacks that's in the body of Christ that's coming from influential people is this super hyper grace message. And so basically what this super hyper-grace message is saying is, look, don't worry about sin. Don't worry about, you know, how you live your life. You just need to know that the ultimate price, which is the truth, the ultimate price was paid for you, and grace is there. So you just worry about that. You worry about the finished works of Jesus and don't worry about anything else. Well, I agree with half of that.
But you need to know what the finished works of Jesus mean for you, a follower of Christ, and what comes your way. And so some people have wrong believing, and they have that wrong believing right from the get-go. I come from a Pentecostal background, and to be honest with you, I was given wrong teaching in that, you know, everything was legalistic. How you dressed made a difference, you know. You had to live a certain life before you were spiritually mature enough to do it. Listen, there's things I don't do now that I wasn't capable of doing 10 years ago. I had to grow in grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had to grow in to begin to become a mature man. Guess what? 10 years from now, there'll be things that are gone from my life that may be here now. Because we grow in that. I was talking about Wigglesworth this morning. Wigglesworth was an old, mature man to have the lifestyle that he had. And when he began to see these great miracles, he was towards the end of his ministry. He had matured into that. Hallelujah. And so there's two sides of that grace situation. We have to know that the Lord revealed this to me last week in Morningstar. We have to know that iniquities and sins that have come to us generationally. How many believes that sins of generations before you will follow you? Well, you must, because it's biblical. But how many knows that we can stop those generational sins and just those iniquities with us? We can stop it with us. And here's what the Lord showed me about that. He said, not only can you affect your children and your children's children, but you can even help your mom and dad out. And of course, no grandparents are left, but those that are before you. You can even begin to change generations that were before you. How many is happy about that? How many would like to see that? And so sometimes the change that we want, we have to be that change. We have to be that catalyst to make that change. And in doing so, we can affect generations before us and behind us. Are we communicating this morning? And he said this, those in the body of Christ too, who won't run in their lane and figure out their identities. Oh, hallelujah. It is my belief that the majority of the people in the body of Christ, you say, well, that, you know, I believe we're struggling with our identities. Not whether you're a prophet or an evangelist or God wants to use you this way or that way, but really, who am I in Christ? Who is Christ to me? And that's why we're doing these discipleship classes. That's why we're doing is to get the right belief. I remember Revelation when Dole did, right before Christmas, he did communion. And when he began to talk about doing communion unworthily, and what I have found when I did communion and I would teach and preach that, people just come fall at the altar. Let me get right with God before I take this community so I don't die or so I don't make anybody sick around me. But what we come to find is the unworthiness was not really knowing who he was and what he had done on your behalf. Really, and this is what we're going to go into. I'm not trying to promote Sunday 9 a.m.s, but we're going to go into grace and really what is grace and how it does work in our lives. And I believe that a lot of us have identity issues. We really don't know who we are. And what we'll see with wrong believing is have you ever met anyone that was going after the things of God they weren't mature enough for? Well, I've been that guy, but have you ever seen anyone that just, I'm just dung. I'm just a piece of garbage. God never used me. You know, God never do nothing with me. Well, man, that's really a smack in the face of Christ for what he's done on your behalf to believe those things. Amen. I have a new identity in Christ. Are we tracking? And so in the scriptures, God didn't take me where I thought he would. And so if you have your Bibles, your iPads, your iPhones, and if you're whatever, the Samsungs or whatever, or whatever you got, I want you to turn here with me, okay? 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 14. See one thing, it's hot in here. I don't know if Anthony or somebody can contend with that, or Ron, but yeah, I'm about to melt down myself, come out of this sweatshirt. All right, are we there? Has my good friend Gabe got it up there for us? I'm reading out of the Amplified, just because sometimes it you may have to put it on cool for just a bit. It's going to warm up out there. So are we already there? Are we there? Are we tracking? I want to say a prayer. Father, we come to you in that name which is above every name. that Ephesians 1:17, wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of Jesus. We don't want this to come from a man or man's mind, or we want this to come from your very heart, God. We want this to be teaching from the throne room. Rhema word, God. So, Father, I ask that I decrease so that you may increase, and the people may be taught, the people may be instructed, and we may grow from this point. And the Spirit reveal things, the Spirit teach. Hallelujah, and that knowledge of Christ and the Word of God. We are preaching the Word this morning. And God, we love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you excited? Have I got your attention just a little bit? Amen. So 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, we're in the Amplified. It says, they have eyes full of adultery, constantly looking for sin, enticing and luring away unstable souls. Did you pick up on that? Enticing and luring away unstable souls. Having hearts trained in greed, they are children of a curse. Abandoning the straight road, say the straight road. Oh, hallelujah. That is the right way to live. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of the false teacher, Balaam. Say Balaam. Oh, hallelujah. Ron, I might make you proud this morning, man. I'm telling you. This man has so much knowledge, it's kind of scary. The false teacher Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the reward of wickedness. Say the reward of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his own transgression. A mute donkey spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Hallelujah. And so when I read this scripture, because he took me to the straight road, he took me to this vision of this train that connected on the straight path that began to gain momentum and make it into the gate. I'm not going to preach about the gate so much. There's people more qualified than me to do that. But when I began to see this and think about the straight gate, and we know that Jesus says narrow is the way, straight is the gate. Amen. And so sometimes the people's just like, well, I better tighten this up. I better get this right. I better. And so in their own self, and they try to start doing good, Ron. You know, I'm not going to watch that porn. Next thing you know, they're watching it more than what they was before. You know, I'm not going to take that drug. Next thing you know, and we're talking about Christians here. You know, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do that. And so within myself, this is what I'm going to try to do. Peter said that there was an error and he was adjusting in the body of Christ. And he said, basically what has happened is there's some teachings. And think about this. Does anybody know when the story of Balaam was? How many thousands of years ago? What, five? Probably. I don't know the exact numbers. And we're still dealing with the error that Balaam was making when he was dealing with the children of Israel. Think about that. Think about how many years ago in Kings when Elijah began to deal with Jezebel. And we still see that we're still dealing with the spirit of Jezebel. And I know that we got people saying, spirit this, spirit that. Well, the bottom line is there are these forces, these dark forces, these demonic spirits that roam the earth, that have been roaming the earth for thousands of years. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. What the enemy has designed and began to get men and women off track thousands of years ago, he can still use the same thing today in the body of Christ. And Peter is addressing the church. He said there's a spirit, there's a false teaching that has come through Balaam as he began to, as a man of God, by the way, as a prophet. I believe he was a man of God. I believe he was a prophet. But when he began to get his eyes off the prize and began to deal with Balak, who was trying to get him to push away the children of Israel, then he became a false prophet. Amen? He became a child of iniquity. The name Balaam means this, the destruction of people. Oh, hallelujah. The very name Balaam itself means the destruction of people. Hallelujah. The Bible's chock full of men and women of God who started the race right but didn't finish it. And I think I was ministering to somebody this week and I told him, listen, this is a race. Paul says I'm running a race, but this isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. I've got to endure to the end to be saved. I've got to get to the finish line to be saved. It doesn't matter how good I was for 6 years and I fell off. That doesn't matter, because I have to deal with the unrighteousness and the iniquity that I have began to walk in. Oh, hallelujah. Are we communicating? Amen. So Peter begins to talk about Balaam. Amen. Now, I'm not getting in so much the story of Balaam, because to be honest with you, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to get revelation for yourself. As I preach this message, and I'm only able to do in 45 minutes to 2 hours, I'm not sure how long I'll preach.
Come on now, come on.
There's only so much I can do. But I have to give you the gist of what the Spirit is saying. These messages are preached for you to dive into them and get more revelation out of them. Amen? Because you might come up to me and say, what about this? You didn't mention that. Well, right, I didn't. I'm glad you got it. So what we know about Balaam is he was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. And Balak, what he wanted to do is he wanted to curse the children of Israel. He knew that they were blessed. He knew that there was nothing he could do about it, because what God was doing on their behalf, there was nothing he could do. So his thought was, let me entice a prophet of God, because here's what it was believed about Balaam. Who he cursed was cursed, and who he blessed was blessed. And so Balak said, hey, I'm going to get a hold of this guy, and I'm going to deceive him somehow, some way. I'm going to entice him. Oh, come on. I'm going to deceive him. I'm going to entice him. Come on, guys. The enemy is always dangling things in front of you that look better. There's a difference between good things and God things, because good things will take you in a direction of destruction. There's a way. We always love to use this. There's a way which seems right unto the man, to man, but the end is death. And we love to tell a sinner that. Oh, you think this is right? No, this talks about for Christians as well. There's a way which might seem right to you, but if you follow that path, the end of it is destruction. We talked about some things this morning. Is it's important what church you go to. It's important who you're connected to. It's important who you surround yourself with. It's important which job you work. Huh? You going for the money, or you going for the God thing? Hallelujah. And so what Balak did is he enticed Balaam to curse Israel. And we're going to look at some errors of Balaam and the doctrine of Balaam, and really reveal how that's being, it has infiltrated. It's not a new thing, but how it has infiltrated the house of God and the people of God. Are we still communicating? I'm right down here, right? This is the Word of God. So, let's look at three things. Number one, let's look at the way of Balaam. Amen? Because it says, what have they done? They have followed the way of Balaam. So to make sure I don't follow the way of Balaam, I need to know the way of Balaam. Amen? So the way of Balaam was this. This was the love of the wages of unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Write that down. This was the love of the wages of unrighteousness, and coveting the gifts of Balak. Amen. In other words, I want something God didn't have ordained for me, and I'm actually walking in covetousness. Say that real fast. Amen. What will cause you to covet others? Envy, jealousy. And that begins to speak to people who really don't know their identity, because they see somebody walking a certain way and they want to walk the same way. I'll never forget when I first got saved and I got the call to preach, and I was going around with Pastor Lawrence, and Lawrence Hayes and Tazewell Family Worship Center, still my pastor, love the man of God, but here was the thing, the dude can preach. He is a dynamic speaker. And so I went on this whole tirade of, God, man, I can't teach like that. I can't preach like that. This guy's dynamic, yada, yada, yada. And God spoke me, and he spoke to me, and he said, stop. Stop the madness. I have a Lawrence Hayes. I don't need two. I have a Sean Boone, and I want a Sean Boone. You do it how I do it through you. And so, you know, whether it's a great prophet, whether, you know, I love to hear Jensen Franklin preach, and I love to, you know, even Steve Furtick, all these guys, they've got their gift, but they're running in their lane. I don't covet what God is doing with them. And so then we'll even look, and I was talking with somebody the other day about this, I think Monday, is we look how God is blessing others and promoting others, and the path we're going the hard way, we're doing it God's way, we're choosing God's path. Why ain't we getting promoted, and why ain't we getting blessed? Come on. And so we start to look at them, and how are they getting there? And here's what we don't know. We don't know the end all. Maybe these people have gotten here the wrong way. Maybe they haven't started off a firm foundation, and they're going to get up so far, because the enemy loves to get you at the apex of your ministry, and it all come crashing down. Hallelujah. I'd rather crash with 10 followers than 10,000. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. And so Balaam began to covet. He loved the ways of unrighteousness, the money of, he was wanting something that wasn't rightfully his. He was coveting something that wasn't really his. Amen. Let's look at Numbers. What did I tell you? What chapter? 22? Numbers 22. I think 7, yeah. It says this. It says, so the elders of Moab and of Midian departed with fees for divination. Say divination. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to preach good, man. I'm telling you. It just goes to show you how much of a champ the Holy Ghost will make you look like. Amen. Him, not me, right? And in Amplified, it says foretelling. The spirit of divination. What was hounding Paul? What was Paul dealing with? What was that spirit saying to Paul? You great man of God. I'm okay if you walk up to me and say that's a great message, but that is not going to, I'm not going to allow that to toot my horn and me go thinking, man, I'm great, you know. They said I was great. Whether I'm great or not, I've already figured that out. Why? Because somebody died for me 2,000 years ago, said, you're great enough to die for. You're great enough for me to ascend, seat myself on the right hand of the throne and send my spirit to you. Listen, that's great. You can try all your days to be greater than that, and you'll never be greater than that. Huh? My identity is a son that Jesus died for me and connected me to Father God and filled me with His Spirit is the greatest thing that will ever happen to me on this earth. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So it says that they sent some elders with fees, come on, of divination, foretelling in hand. And they came to Balaam and told him the words of Balak. And so here we already see, we get a picture. They came. Here they come to Balaam. And here's what we know. They had to do it more than once because the first time he said, no. I sought God. No. But it says in verse 17 of the same chapter of Numbers, it says, for I will give you a very great honor. Woo. Hallelujah. So here's what they brought. They brought some money. Come on. Curse Israel. I'll fill your pockets. Amen. You won't never have to worry about a thing again. But then they said, hey, we're going to make you a man of stature and give you great honor and all throughout the land. Amen. Do you know this spirit is running rapid in the body of Christ? There are men and women that God has redeemed and has placed a gift on the inside of, and their whole reason for seeking God right now is for promotion and to get rich. Listen, I believe faith can bring wealth. I believe you got to give in order to receive. I believe He gives you faith to give more so you can receive more. I believe that, you know, having money is a blessing from God. But the problem is these guys, they don't have money for long before the money has them. Come on. And so then they just strive. They strive for this place of status and stature. Amen. You know what made Jesus great? As He was dead last. He was the least of these. In the kingdom of God, the greatest servant is the greatest in the kingdom of God. It don't matter. It doesn't matter how many snapping pictures and my name's in lights. Amen. Nothing trumps of what God thinks about me. He disobeyed the word of the Lord. And the problem was with Balaam is he knew what God spoke to him, and he went and inquired of God again. And he went out of the perfect will of God and he went into the permissive. Oh, Shoda Bahataya. He went into the permissive will of God. You know God has a permissive will? He just kind of lets you have to go on and do your own thing. And then that's when we begin to walk in divination. Huh? Disobedience. What is it? It's rebellion. Rebellion's what? Sin and witchcraft. Amen? I bet you didn't think. Some of you young people won't listen to your parents. I bet you didn't know you was walking in witchcraft. Amen? I bet you when God asked you to do something, you didn't realize when you decided not to do it, you was walking in witchcraft. Amen? Catherine Coleman, she says, it'll cost you everything. What was she saying? It cost her everything. I spoke of it this morning. Walking the plan, the way God wants me to walk this out, has cost me a lot, and it should cost you a lot. I'm not talking about just money. Are we communicating? He loved the wages of unrighteousness. He coveted. He was a coveter. Amen? I love this man. I went to Abbs Valley Elementary, and we had a black gym teacher. His name was Don Carter, Mr. Carter. And he also taught, he was also the varsity basketball coach. And every time I'd go in there, you know, I would tell him, you know, I'd get in trouble. Believe it or not, they stopped paddling my ninth grade year. Do you want to know how many years I got paddled? From kindergarten up to ninth grade. Hard to believe, huh? You can ask my dad, he'd be like, yeah, I know he did. I got wore out. I wish they'd bring it back. And he would get on to me. You know why I'm going to pass? Yeah, but so-and-so did this, I would say. He said, don't you worry about so-and-so. He said, if you'd worry about Sean, Sean would be all right. And it's the same way in the body of Christ. We even see Peter. Hey, you said you was going to do this with John. What about? Don't you worry about John. You better worry about Peter. Amen? Listen, as a leader in the body of Christ, someone in pastoral position that people are under and I help, I come to this conclusion. It is hard enough for me to change me. It's an impossibility for me to change you. All I can do is be used of the Spirit of God and hope to say something that sparks a change on the inside of you. Amen? Looking, coveting, worrying about what everybody else is doing. Come on. When we talk about the spirit of Balaam in the church, it's all in the church. Amen? Hallelujah. Number one, we have the way of Balaam. Number two, let's look at the error of Balaam. Amen? This was accepting, hallelujah. This was accepting the wages of unrighteousness for his services and giving the secret of how to get God to curse Israel. Hallelujah. There's many men and women throughout the body of Christ, and I'm going to prove this later on. What they're teaching, it's a serious thing. I've been quiet for 2 days, and my wife always asks me, have I done anything to you? No, honey, you haven't done anything to me. But when I know I have to deliver something, and there's a weight with comes. Listen, I take very serious that I teach you the Word of God and that I preach you the Word of God. That is a very weighty thing. I'll have to give an account for what I teach to you and what I preach to you. That is a weighty thing. Why are you so quiet? Man, I want to do this how God wants me to do it. Here's the thing. Until the day you die, the enemy is going to present you with the counterfeit. The first time they come to Balaam with the offering of wages, he said no. But then they come again. And they would have kept coming. Balak would have kept coming until he would have given in. Or when he finally figured out this guy isn't going to budge. Do you understand? Saints of God. I used to be deceived in thinking that I would get to a place in my walk with God to where the enemy would quit enticing me and quit messing with me. It's not going to happen. Don't let that discourage you. Why? Because greater is He that is in you. Stop making big devils. You got big God. You got a bigger God. The Holy Spirit is more powerful. You have a Savior. He's greater than all of these things. It says it's not what comes in a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of him. You know, you can't, men, we're visual. You know, you need to watch your eye gates. You need to make sure you're watching the right things. But sometimes you're just enticed. You can't help going out in public and being in Walmart and here comes a girl with a skimpy thing on. You're like, I didn't see that. And some people, they let the enemy just bust them up because of that. Well, you can't help what you see, but you can help how you respond to what you see. You can help how you respond to what the enemy has told you. And that's why we speak of accountability in the body of Christ, because if I'm going a direction and I'm submitted, then I go to people that are in authority over me. I go to my pastors and I go to my leaders and say, hey, this is what the Lord is speaking to me. What do you think about that? I probably drive Dull Bradford crazy, but when I get a prophetic word, it goes straight to him. I don't send it to him to impress him. I send it to him for him to read over and tell me if there's any error in it. Why? Because I want to stay out of error. I don't want to get in the ditch. I've been in it too many daggone times. I don't want in the ditch. Say that. I don't want in the ditch. And that's why God puts people over you. That's why he gives people of influence into your life. Same thing with John Paulus. John lives 3 hours away. But everything, you know, I sitting down and had a conversation. Here's my 2018. What do you think? Tell me, what do you think about going here? What do you think about going to India? What do you think about me going to two places in Africa? What do you think about this? And what I know about him is he's not an overlord or not a dictator. So you don't need to do none of that. You know, it's good to have accountability. Balaam didn't have any. There was no accountability in his life. So what did he do? He then accepted the wages of unrighteousness. Amen. What may seem like little small decisions, it may bring about big trouble down the road. It's the little. Woo! Hallelujah, I'm preaching this morning. It's the little. Amen? How do you spoil a whole lump of bread, a whole loaf of bread? Just a little. Little leaven, just a little bit. Are we communicating this morning? What you say, what you do, how you respond to what comes your way will determine the course that you go on. Amen? So, we know that the way of Balaam, the heir of Balaam. Number three, let's look at the doctrine of Balaam. Amen? Hallelujah. The doctrine of Balaam, this was to teach Balak that if he would give his most beautiful women to the Israelite men and cause them to commit idolatry and adultery, that God himself would curse Israel. So Balaam finally comes and says, let me just kind of take this off of me a little bit. But Balak, I'm not going to look like the bad guy, but if this is what you can do, then this is how you can get God to curse Israel. Again, Balaam means what? The destruction of people. Come on. Be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. Huh? He roams seeking about whom he may. Huh? He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? So Balaam said, here's what I'll do is I'll tell Balak, I'll tell let's think about it this way. Balaam could have come to Balak and said, look, man, just get on board with God. You won't be blessed? Get on board with God. But no, I'll deceive somebody who could possibly be influential and come and lead people to God and heal the land. But no, I'm going to come and teach him a way. I'm going to teach him some ways about God, but we're going to use it in a negative way. Hallelujah. Doctrines of devils. They sound good. They sound godly. But the end results when you follow them is death. Amen? Numbers 25. Come on. I'll give you a second. I need to drink water. I done preached my throat dry. Numbers 25, verse 1. How are we? We good? It says, Israel settled and remained in Shittim. I want to say this before I go any further. Who did it say? It said Israel. Right? What we been, is anybody doing the Killing Kryptonite class with us? Oh, daggone. Come on. I seen some of y'all's faces. You ain't even raising your hand. Made me look like a fool. And here's what John Bevere revealed in that teaching. He says that when one person that's in a body begins to
to live a lascivious or a sinful lifestyle, it affects what? It affects the whole body. Hallelujah. What's lacking? What's lacking in our society today? Accountability. Accountability. And so, when something happened that affected Israel, did he need to get all of Israel? He just needed to get some men to do. Amen? It says, Israel settled and remained in Shittim, and the people began to play the prostitute, oh hallelujah, with the women of Moab by being unfaithful to God. For they invited the Israelites to the sacrifices of their gods, and the Israelites ate food offered to idols and bowed down to Moab's gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor in worship, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Hallelujah. What a prophet, huh? Come on. Was he a true prophet of God? Yeah. Yeah, he was. But what did he do? He caused his people to sin against God. And here's the problem here. It says, as the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Guess what? They had big trouble. They had big trouble. So now, through their disobedience, through our disobedience, what do we have to reap? Curse. Through our disobedience, we have to reap a curse. Hallelujah. Oh, no, don't believe all that stuff. You know, just whatever, you know, whatever's blessed is blessed. You know, you don't believe, you know, God's just too good. Grace is too big. It's all blessed. It's all good. It's all gravy. Come on. Does that sound familiar? It don't matter how you live your lifestyle. The blessing of God is going to come. Huh? It don't matter just one or two little sins. It don't matter. It don't matter. The example that I gave in the morning class was, let's just say you're climbing to the top of a roof of a house with a chain. And you get on that chain and you start climbing and you get almost to the roof of that house. Let's say it's 20 feet in the air. And you realize when you get to the top that one link is rusted and rotten and broken, and it gives way right when you get to the top. All them other chain links was good, but it was the one that caused you possibly to fall to your death. Come on. This isn't a legalistic mindset. But here's the mindset. He's holy. He's a holy God. And he paid a real big price for me. My life is a big price was paid for that. And so was yours. My sin put Jesus on the cross. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. You are responsible for crucifying Christ. It was a big price. It was a big sacrifice that was made. For one, I'm totally enamored with that thought. I'm completely love-stricken that someone who was out without fault give his life as a ransom for mine. I'm completely caught up in that thought. I have a revelation of what was done on my behalf. Now I have a sense on the inside of me that I want to walk this out exactly the way He has it ordained for me. I want to please God. My great preaching doesn't please God. Great prophecy doesn't please God. But every day, poor in spirit, waking up with a recognition that I cannot do anything without You today, Lord. You are my everything. You are my start and my finish. Hallelujah. You're everything to me, God. Jesus, the price You paid, it's just burning fresh inside of me now. I've got to have You every second of every day. I'm cautious. I'm cautious of how I live my life and the decisions I make, because it doesn't just affect me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So, the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, and the doctrine of Balaam. Is that all you got, preacher? I'm glad you asked, because it's not. Let's take it a step further. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We talked about Balaam. Peter mentioned Balaam, but now Jesus Himself even begins to mention
Balaam. Revelation chapter 2 with verse 12, starting with verse 12. Revelation 2, starting with verse 12. Hallelujah. And to the angel, the divine messenger of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has and wields the sharp two-edged sword in judgment. I could get fired up and run around this church just thinking about that. Do you understand the power in that? I know where you dwell. Hey, come on, say he knows. Come on. Hey, some of you that needs to get real with God. Huh? Hey, some of you mad at God right now and you're acting like you ain't. They, some of you disappointed with how things have turned out and you really want to blame God, but you're too scared to get real with God. He knows. Do you want to know when things really began to turn around for me in my walk with God? Is when I finally said, you know what? This is how, you know how I feel anyway, but I want to say it with my mouth. Let's just get this out in the open and let's stop playing pretend, God. Because He knows. Hallelujah. This is one way to address this spirit and this error of this teaching. Quit playing the phony. Quit acting like it's all right. I know where you dwell, a place where Satan sits enthroned. Amen. Listen to what he was saying. Y'all are willing to get right in there where the devil's at. Yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed, martyred among you, where Satan dwells. Now that, to me, if we could probably find one of those churches here on the earth, we might order go to it. But, right? Come on. But I have a few things against you. Hallelujah. Say a few things. Not everything, but a few things. Because you have the same among you who are holding to the corrupt teaching of who? Now, how did that pop up again, Ron? I just don't get that. Surely nobody else would mention that, would they? But Jesus said there's a problem here. There's a teaching that's thousands of years old that's destroying my people, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we got to address it, the Lord says. It's not just good enough to allow this to run rampant, Pergamos. It's not good just to let it keep going on. Let's not turn a blind eye to it. Let's address it. If He's willing to address it, we need to be willing to address it. Listen. I love the church with all my heart. I have given my life for the church. This is what I do. I travel and preach. I'm here and I preach. And it don't have nothing to... I serve. Let's say I serve everywhere I go. But we have to wake up and realize that there's some error going on in the body of Christ, and He's going to draw a plumb line, and if we don't correct that error, we may just miss it. You're doing good. I'd like to see a few martyrs come out of America. Come on. But you got some issues, he said. It's not good enough to die. So you're holding on to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. Hallelujah. What was he saying? You're a stumbling block. Amen? Glory to the Lamb of God. Enticing them to eat things that had been sacrificed to idols and to commit acts of sexual immorality. He goes further. You also have some who in the same way are holding to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Amen? Does anybody know anything about the Nicolaitans? Huh? They lived an unrestrained lifestyle of indulgence, and they also felt that adulterous and idol worship was okay. Amen? Do you see how that has interweaved into the teachings of Balaam? Because it's really the same thing. And the Bible speaks of lasciviousness. Do you know what lasciviousness is? It means you don't have no restraint. You know, you don't know the difference between good and bad. You just kind of, I'm going to church, but I'm still just going, you know, it don't matter. It don't matter. Hey man, didn't I see you with some girl, you know, at the bar? You was drunk, you took her home. Yeah, it don't matter. Have you run into anybody like that? It don't matter. I remember back in the summer we were witnessing, and God always sends me to these people. And he sent me to this guy at Bluefield City Park. I walked up to him and was just trying to get him to know him a little bit. I could smell alcohol in his breath. And the first thing he said out of his mouth, he said, "But the Lord's been good to me." And I thought to myself, not that he, And then he began to proceed to tell me that that wasn't his wife. See, that was his girlfriend. They'd been living together for the last 12, 13 years. And I thought, oh my gosh, no, why you sent me to this guy? Huh? Because I can tell you in a 30-minute conversation, you ain't going to be able to address that. But that's the mindset that's running across our nation. That anything goes, anything's okay. You know, we can attack you. We can attack you, but don't you attack us. Because you say anything that's right or true, or if you speak truth, you're attacking us. We said this Wednesday night, I believe. Because when Paul begins to talk about the one that's committing adultery and sleeping with his dad's wife and all this stuff, and you know, Paul said you need to put him out. When you've tried to correct him, you need to put him out, because he's ruining this whole church right here. You need to put him out. He's not willing to live right. And so we asked, what would happen if we did that today? And most people said we'd be called haters. And I had to get up and I said, here's the thing, no, we wouldn't. So we're called haters now. But maybe if the world would see us stand up for what was right within our midst, maybe if we would start to address what's going wrong in our midst. Because what the world is seeing is people that are living those lascivious lifestyles, that are out drinking, partying, sleeping around, you know, living loose. And they see us welcoming them into our fellowship. Oh, brother, say he's great, you know. Sis so-and-so, she great, you know. But then if they come in, then we expect them to, because they don't speak our lingo or whatever, we expect them to kind of get on board with us. Whereas we should expect people that live out in the world, that live for the world, to sin. Wouldn't make sense, wouldn't it? Amen? But then we got people in our midst, you know, just because bro so-and-so ties so much, or, you know, this or that. Well, for whatever reason. And here's the thing, we've got an unhealthy tolerance of sin in amongst our own people that we call saints. Come on. You know it. I know it. And we want to call it love because we overlook it. Well, here's the thing. If I'm getting ready to walk off a cliff, I hope you love me enough to tell me not to walk off the edge. Come on. Open rebuke's better than secret love. Amen. So we see the teachings of Balaam mixing in with the teachings of the Nicolaitans. He says, therefore repent. Change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your sinful behavior. Seek God's will, or else I'm coming to you quickly. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you. I've wanted Jesus to do some stuff quick for me, but when I'm in error, I don't want him to come quickly. Oh, just stay back here. You know, we're good. Don't come quickly right now. I ain't ready. He says, I'm coming quickly, and I will make war and fight against them with the sword of my mouth in judgment. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the church. To him who overcomes the world, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, to him I will give the privilege of eating some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows except the one who receives it. Jesus even begins to, as he addresses different churches through the seven, and he said, here's what's happened. Here's what's happened. You've lost your first love. And how about this? Maybe he was never the first love. And I hear people tell me all the time, I was like, look, you know, look where you've gone. Yeah, but I still love the Lord. I'm not going to argue with you whether you love the Lord or not. But is he your first love? Has the gospel been preached to us? Has it been presented to us in such a way that it just makes us totally fall in love with Jesus? Perfect love. It cast out restraint. It cast out all fear. Amen? So I'll give you this grand message, and Gabe's going to kill me. He's going to wring my neck because I didn't give him these scriptures. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2. Amen. I'm about to close this up. Do we feel like we've communicated? Amen. Ways to stay out of error. Ways to stay out of following, you know, these doctrines of devils. Because here's what you have to understand. The devil's not so stupid that he's going to try to get somebody to teach that worshiping the devil, just worship the devil, man. That's a way to get to God. But he's going to pervert. He's going to mix in the Word of God and come up with his own teachings. In other words, he's going to add to and he's going to take away, ain't he? Isn't that what the enemy does? Do you know people that love to quote half of Scripture? You know? It's like, wait a second. You know, that Scripture said I had to humble myself. I couldn't just resist the devil. I had to humble myself, right? Hallelujah. You're missing that part. Acts 2:37. Let me get there myself. I'm about to close. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I'm not going to lie. I know this is a pretty strong message. You know, I know it makes us really look at some things. You know, it kind of narrows things down a little bit. You know? It says, now they were cut to the heart with remorse and anxiety. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what are we to do? And Peter said to them, repent. Change your old way of thinking. Turn from your sinful ways. Accept and follow Jesus as the Messiah. And be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ because of the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a reason you're gathered today. We never forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We admonish one another in love, right? There's things that go on in the house of God that can't go on any other way. Amen? There's strength in numbers. Amen? But here's the thing. The tank, you, your spirit, can run on empty. Starts to get empty. Amen? And we need to fill that tank up. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When I hear the Word of God, I get energized. It begins to change me from the inside out. When I get around like people, when the Spirit of God begins to move. Listen, you could argue up one side and down the other, but there was a presence that was here this morning that you can't get any other way other than corporate worship. It does something to get in the presence of God. You know me. You know that I preach and teach that you need to have a devotional life yourself. You need to seek God. You need to be intimate with God. You need to be recharged by having encounters with God. But nothing trumps being together like this. Why? Because within myself I can get in error. Amen. I need the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. I need it taught to me the correct way. I need to be around like brothers and sisters. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. Huh? Iron sharpens iron. Amen. We're in this together. Do you understand? We're in this together. There's no rebels with causes in the body of Christ. We're in this together. I need you. You need me. I used to prophesy this 3-4 years ago. But there's a difference between just doing church And Prophet Jeremiah Johnson has spoke about this and being a surrendered church. Being an authentic church and then just doing church. Of going through the motions. When I come in here, I come in here for a reason. There's a purpose. You know what? I love shaking hands and hugging necks and talking to people. I love fellowshipping with you guys. But I want to encounter Jesus. I want to have an encounter with the One. Amen. I want you to just bow your heads. I want you to picture this. Just picture this. Jesus. John. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God moving. It says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And after turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, I saw someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching to his feet and with a golden sash wrapped around his chest. His head and his hair were white like white wool, glistening white like snow. They were flashing like a flame of fire, piercing into my being. His feet were like burnished white-hot bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was powerful like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword of judgment. And his face, reflecting his majesty and the Shekinah glory, was like the sun shining in all its power at midday. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though I were dead. John, you're my beloved. Come lay on my bosom. I love to lay in the bosom of Jesus. I love you. John, the things that you've seen me do, the words that you've heard me say, do them, say them, repeat them. Be a minister unto the gospel. Can you picture this of someone that you laid your head on their bosom, and then the next sight that you get is him hanging on a cross, not even recognizable as someone you spent time with? Crucifixion is a horrible, horrible way to die. The body swells beyond recognition. The one being crucified stands on nail-pierced feet to catch air and then dips because the pain is so excruciating. But I laid my head on that bosom. The side that you just pierced, I used to wrap my arms around and embrace. What have they done? Where has he gone? What will I do? How will I make it? How will I stay on the straight path? How will I walk this out? How will I see this through? So John sees him again. He doesn't put his head on his bosom. And he falls at his feet as if he were dead. He placed his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid." Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak to the spirit of fear. And I release power, and I release love, and I release soundness of mind. I release the truth in this house. I release these truths into the body of Christ.
Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the absolute deity, the Son of God, and the ever-living one, living in and beyond all time and space. I died, but see, I'm alive forevermore. Come on. I died, but I am alive forevermore. I want you to know something. You're not serving a dead God, and you're not serving a dead Savior this morning. He is alive. Did you hear me? He is alive. He's worthy of your first love. He's worthy of bearing your cross and following Him. He's worthy to devote your whole fiber of your being to follow Him. He will keep you out of error. He will give you truths. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He's seated at the right hand of the throne, the place of power, the place of authority. And He ain't no weak Jesus. Come on. He's more than able to see you through what you're going through now. He's more than able. Come on. He's greater than fear. He's greater than fear. Amen. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray over every individual here. I pray those that may be listening online. Father, I release spirit of boldness. I release a spirit of truth, that they would know the truth and the truth would set them free. That Father, we are addressing in the body of Christ the teachings of Balaam. We are addressing it, and we are saying that those are incorrect doctrines and those are untruths, and that we know the truth and that He's a holy God, and that's what we will follow. I bind lasciviousness in the name of Jesus. As I said last Sunday night, there are people here that are bond servants. Paul says, I am bound to Christ. You are bound to Christ. Father, we break this nasty spirit of pornography. Spirits of lust, greed, covetousness. God, we believe that You want to raise the dead in our midst. We believe that miracles will be in our midst. But God, we also believe there's a way. There's a way which seems right. But we want to follow Your way. We want to follow Your path, God. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He's worthy. We bow at Your feet, Jesus. We're not like Mary. We're not busy with much serving. I mean, Martha. We're not busy with much serving. We're not trying to circle around and not get to the heart of the matter. We're like Mary. Hallelujah. At Your feet. At Your feet. Father, we release these truths in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, you can be dismissed. We love you. We thank God for you. Any way we can serve you, we're here for you. Amen? Shalom.